In El Paso, Texas, we live in a desert. This would be winter. All I can tell you, but thank God for you all, and I appreciate you coming out here. How many of you all have never seen me in person before? This is your first time. This is your first time you've never seen me in person? How many of y'all came because you knew I was coming? All right. How many of y'all found me to be far more attractive than you ever thought I was? How many of y'all thought I would be taller? Almost everyone thinks I should be taller. But anyway, it's such a delight to be here. I do have a message that I believe God is going to use to bless you. Before I get into the message, this is my lovely wife, Pastor Sonia. Look at her. Smile. You want to say something to the people?
It is always an honor being here with you all. We love you. We love this church. We love your bishop and his wife and family. They're just amazing. They're awesome. And we find them very dear to our hearts. And thank you so much for your hospitality. We're so grateful once again to be here. God bless you.
And yes, thank you so much. She smiles all the time. People just can't understand why she smiles all the time. Let me tell you why. She's married to me. So there's a good reason why she smiles all the time. All right. Oh, he wants a picture. All right. Praise God. Thank you. All right. Like we need another picture of us two together. Praise God. They haven't seen it. All right. Let me tell you, I'm going to be doing on demons today. I understand you all expected that, and I'm ready to give it. I just finished a seminar called Come Out in Jesus' Name. That's what demons did. They fell backwards when I prayed for people. And I just did a seminar, gave four messages there. Pastor Sonia gave one. The pastor there, Gordon, in Malta, he gave one. So the people were saturated with this teaching. And boy, did we see so many people delivered. Demons crying out, screaming, crying, tears, just everything shaking on the floor. Just the Lord moved in a great way. People were just testifying how free they feel now after that. So I'm hoping that tonight we will have you all who feel like you're under bondage in some way to be healed and set free. I could only give one message tonight, so I have my books here that I trust it will be a blessing to you. This is a book that I wrote because in the United States, I was featured on the History Channel, MSNBC, ABC News with Barbara Walters. I've had four producers want to do a document, actually wanted me to host a reality TV show. I even casted for it. And in the end, the producers wanted me to be the host, but they said after figuring out their numbers, it was too expensive to come to El Paso. My town is way far from LA. And they said, is there any chance you could move to LA? And we would do the documentary. I said, no, I'm staying with my church. That's all right. They understood it. So people ask me a lot about deliverance and spiritual warfare. So I decided to finally put all the thoughts that I had about it in a book. So I really diligently studied it and wrote it. And I knew when I wrote it, the Spirit of God was just moving on me. I felt so good, so confident. And this book, when it got released, it sold out. 11,000 copies. It sold out in 28 days. I had bookstores from all over the world, including Canada, calling me up. Can I sell them some books? I had some books. My publisher sold out, but I have a contract. I can't sell it to bookstores. So I couldn't do it. So they put it on a second press. It sold out in 30 days. A third press sold out. They went through six printing presses in the first year alone. This book became a national bestseller. In the midst of it, this book will tell you probably the very things you need to know. It's biblically based. It has real experiences, stories that will capture you. So I encourage you to get this book afterwards, I'll be glad to autograph it. After that book was released, my publisher within about 2 to 3 months called me up and said, we can't keep your books in stock. Can you write another one? We need another one from you. You're hot right now. So I wrote another one for them. And this one sold better than this one. The other one was just crazy. Just was crazy. I've sold hundreds of thousands of copies of my books. I don't mean giving them away. I'm talking about we're selling them. So this book, Breaking Curses, Experience and Healing, is a backup. It's really part two, explaining in more detail how to experience healing from the Lord. This book will be a great blessing to you. And then I finally decided, everyone knows me as the exorcist. Let me write something positive, but yet still on spiritual warfare, because I'm always focusing on the devil's strategies, his weapons, what he wants to do. Then I thought, it's time for us to know our weapons. So I wrote this book, Spiritual Gifts or Spiritual Warfare, to teach you about your weapons and what positive weapons you have to use against Satan. And God showed me that the gifts of the Spirit really are weapons. Think of the discerning of spirits. That's a weapon of Satan against Satan, because Satan doesn't want you to know when he's at work in your life trying to deceive you. So these gifts will be used by God to set you free from Satan's work. All of these books are, we're going to lower than what we did last time, 15 pounds. That's it. We want to sell out 15 pounds or three for, what do we say, 40. Three for 40, any three that you want. Any of my DVDs, we're going to let them go for £5. Any of the DVDs you find, we got them there. We want to be a blessing to you. And so thank you. Let's all stand up. Y'all know I like to start off with a joke of the day. I was enjoying some nuts, some peanuts and all of this at the Evans house just before coming down here, because we're a little hungry and we didn't want to eat smash burgers until after I preached. So it reminded me about a pastor who went to go visit one of his members. And he went to visit her. She was an old lady. And he sat down and she says, and she began to tell the pastor, you know, her problems and all that. And there was some peanuts in front of him. And he said, do you mind if I have some peanuts? Oh, go ahead. Have as much as you want. And they went on and talked for about an hour. After it was all over, he realized he ate all the peanuts. He said, oh, I'm sorry, dear sister, to eat all the peanuts. I didn't expect that. She said, no problem. Ever since I lost my teeth, I can only suck the chocolate out of them. How many of y'all brought your Bibles? Lift them up real high and say this. Say, this is my Bible. It is the Word of God. I am who it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. And I have what it says I have. I boldly declare that my mind is alert, my heart is receptive, and my cell phone is off. I will never be the same in Jesus' name. Turn to someone, smile at them, and say, aren't you glad we're in church tonight? It's a lot. I need my glasses. Did I leave my glasses there? Oh, my goodness. Is my glasses in here? No, this is. This does not look good on me right now. You know, the reason why I need my glasses is on this trip, we brought a thin line Bible because of the weight. So there's small print on here too. So it's a challenge for me to read then. I had it in my pocket, my dear wife. I didn't leave anything over there, did I? How about in the office? Go check the... Oh, they already checked in the office. I can't believe I left it. I remember having it clearly in my pocket. Oh, you had one? Oh, no. He doesn't know what we're talking about. Okay. All right. Open up your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. Let's begin with the 10th verse. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you've done everything, to stand. Stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Now, I want you to take notice of verse 12, the last part, that we are making war against, watch this, the powers of this dark world and against the spiritual forces of evil. Where? In the hell. Notice, there's the powers of this world and there are forces in the heavenly realm. Did you ever notice there are two classes of entities that we deal with? Two classes of warring entities. One class, it relates to the powers of this world and the others in the heavenly realms. I believe that it is demons that we deal with in this world, while there are fallen angels that we deal with in the heavenly realms. See, fallen angels still have their wings. Just because they fell from heaven doesn't mean God clipped their wings. They still have wings. Did you know that? Otherwise, Daniel chapter 10 doesn't make any sense where he says, the prince of Persia withstood me, the angel Gabriel said. Well, how could another being, if it didn't have wings, stop the angel Gabriel from passing through? He'd have to have wings as well. Well, we do have winged creatures. They're angels. Most of them are good angels, but there are a third of them that are bad angels. Well, what about demons? Well, demons, I believe, and I'm not going to get into detail about it, but I believe they're disembodied spirits, and therefore they don't have wings. Jesus said this, demons walk through dry places. Why did he say walk? Why didn't he say fly? You understand? He said they walk through dry places. So demons are limited to the earth. They're evil. They desire bodies to inhabit, because that's how they can express their personality. Without bodies, they're just spirits roving, unable to manifest hatred, bitterness, anger, words, speeches, their will, evilness, wickedness. They can't express their nature unless they have a body to express it. And so demons are these powers that we deal with in this dark world. So even the Apostle Paul shows us two classes of spiritual entities, those that are fallen angels in heaven and those that are demons. We're going to focus tonight on the demons, what they're up to. What are they trying to do that we must war against them? Well, let me tell you, there are, first of all, notice the rankings of these spiritual entities. He says in verse 12, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, and against the powers. Interestingly, in the Greek, these are words that were used to describe the Roman forces, Roman soldiers. The first is the Greek word arx, where we get the word archangel from, which means these are the highest rulers. So this is the word that was used to speak of the highest rulers of armies. So he's saying we're having to deal with rulers. And then he mentions authorities. These are authorities that are below the rulers, but they also have their own authority that has been granted to them by the rulers. and they rule. And then he mentions simply the powers. That would be like the soldiers. They don't have authority, but they do have powers. They have weapons. In Roman day, they had swords, they had spears, they had arrows. That's their power, but they didn't have the right to call the shots like the authorities did and like the rulers did. Now, I bring this up because demons are a highly organized group of entities underneath Satan's rulership. Demons are called in the New Testament, or at least they're told that their ruler is Beelzebub, the prince of rulers. Even Jesus used that term. So Jesus uses the idea of rulers, the princes, the prince of this world, which is a ruler. So I want you to understand that Satan is highly organized. Jesus even used that to point out that if he's casting out demons by Beelzebub, then how will his kingdom stand? So notice Jesus even called demonic forces and angelic forces, he called them what? The kingdom. He called it a kingdom. And a kingdom has a king. A kingdom has authorities. So what I want you to see, and the whole point I'm bringing this up, is because Satan, through his demons, is doing his best to find a way to bring you down. He's finding a way to defeat you. In other words, demons are not just scattered doing their own thing. Now, demons do have a will. I mean, Jesus described a demon saying, "I will return back to the house I left." So demons have a will. But their will is also under the subjection of Satan's will. And Satan uses those demons to find out more about you. And they are highly organized, and they know your weaknesses, your strengths, what you're good at, and your possibility of how you could destroy them. So they're working it in every way possible to find out about you so they can hinder you and bring you down. So Satan's kingdom is organized. I want you to think about it. Evil is organized. There's no accidents in the kingdom of darkness. Satan's thinking, strategizing. Now, he's not omniscient. That's why he has fallen angels and demons to get information about each of us. Didn't the demon say, "We know Jesus and we know about Paul, but who are you?" So they're familiar with Jesus who destroyed them and defeated them at the cross, and they're familiar with Jesus' servants. They know many of them. So they know you better than you realize, and they're looking to attack you and to bring you down. So what are the purposes of demons? What in their mind, what is their purpose? What are they trying to do? Let me bring you three basic purposes of demons. First, are you ready for this? They're just looking to torment you. Now, the first thing you have to recognize is how much Satan, fallen angels, and demons hate you. There's hatred in their heart. That's all they don't love. Let me say it this way. Jesus loves those who hate him, but the devil hates even those who love him. And there are Satanists. Hail Satan. They love him, but Satan hates them. Satan has no concern for your happiness. He enjoys seeing you in pain. So the first thing demons do is they torment. They just want to torment you in pain, pain in your mind, pain in life. So when you look at some of the things that in your life that has brought you pain, make no mistake about it. There's a good chance that Satan has been behind the pain in your life. The molestation, the abuse, the financial problems, broken relationships, illnesses, sicknesses, mental abuse, thoughts of suicide. How could somebody come to a place where they just ready to end their life? It's because Satan's tormenting them. In Revelation 9, it describes these demons as scorpions that sting people to, and I like how the Bible puts it, to torment them for 5 months. That's the season of harvest. When things should be going well, he's tormenting them. He just likes to torment people. He just enjoys seeing someone going crazy, losing their mind, and being totally 100% unhappy. That's what he wants. He just loves to torment people. The second purpose of demons is to keep people from being saved. That's the other purpose. They're looking to keep people from believing in Jesus and trusting him. Paul said it this way in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4. The God of this age has blinded the minds that don't believe so that they cannot see the glorious gospel of Christ. Have you ever thought for a moment, how in the world is it that not everyone is saved? Because what we're giving, the message we're giving is the greatest message in the entire world. Now think about it. We're all sinners, yet God still loves those who have sinned against him. He loved them so much, he sent his one and only begotten son, not just to pay a financial price, but to pay the price with his life. Is there any greater way that anyone could show love than to give one's life for someone else? That's the greatest way. You can give somebody money, and that shows love. But to give your life, that's love. But wait a minute. How about, do you love anyone so much that you're willing to give your son to die? Now, I might be willing to lay my life for somebody, but I don't love anyone so much that I would send my son. This is how much God loves the human race. And that the Holy Trinity worked together and the Son agreed to go and pay the price. What great love. This is the greatest message that the world should have ever heard, that God became a man and he gave his life for us, that we could have eternal life and live forever with God in heaven. This is great, that death is not the end of it, right? How in the world does not the whole world get saved? 2 Corinthians 4:4, the God of this age blinds the minds who don't believe. He blinds it. In other words, there's a force outside of just their will that is causing them not to see it. Now, notice it says Satan blinds their minds so they cannot see the glorious, the light of the glorious gospel. They can't see it. Now, I grew up with my grandparents and my dad. My parents had gotten a divorce, and so I lived with my dad's parents, including my dad. And both my dad and my grandfather were atheists. And here I got saved, and I tried my best to try to win my grandfather to the Lord. I would talk to him, and he just refused to believe that God even exists, much less Jesus exists. So I tried. I began to pray to God. I said, God, what's going on? I want my grandfather to be saved. He's getting up in years. He's going to die without you and go to hell, and I don't want him to go to hell. And the Lord then gave me a revelation. He said, there's a reason. This is what he told me. There's a reason your grandfather doesn't get saved. And I said, I know, he's stubborn. The Lord said, no. He said, Satan has blinded his mind, so he cannot see. And then the Lord said, would you blame a blind man for not appreciating the color of a rainbow? Would you blame a deaf person who's never heard that they cannot appreciate Mozart? He says, you don't blame someone blind that they cannot see beauty, or someone deaf that they cannot hear something so majestic. He said, that's your grandfather. He cannot see what you see. And then the Lord said, it's Satan that's blinded him. And I said, Lord, are you telling me that Satan is the one who's keeping him from being saved? He says, yes. So that if Satan was taken out of the way, he would get saved? The Lord said, in your grandfather's case, yes, he would be saved. I said, well, then what do I do? He said, haven't I given you authority over the devil? I said, what? He said, take your authority and tell the devil to quit blinding your grandfather's mind. All right? I said, that's it? He says, yes. Well, he didn't tell me how to do it. And in my youthfulness, I decided to do it in person with my grandfather. So I went right into my grandfather's bedroom. And I went back there. I said, hey, Grandpa. And I remember him laying in his bed. He's looking at me. I said, the Lord just, because we would get into debates all the time about Christianity. In fact, the debate would get so heated. One time he said, I want the Bible out of my house. This is my house. I want the Bible out. I said, it's not going to go. Either you or the Bible goes. And I took the Bible, put it in my lap. I said, carry me out then. And I left. I left the house. After about 3 days, he actually, he shouldn't have done this, but he drove and said, I miss you. Why don't you come back? I said, Grandpa, I'm still going to preach to you. I don't care. Just preach to me. It's all right. Well, one of the things I did, I went into my grandpa's room. I said, the Lord just spoke to me and told me that you would get saved if you could see what I see, but the devil's blinded your mind. So what I'm going to do, Grandpa, is I'm going to tell the devil to stop doing this. Now, when I do it, I'm going to start probably yelling. But when I yell, I'm not yelling at you. I want you to know that. I love you, Grandpa. I hate the devil who's blinding you. And he's just staring at me. I said, so are you ready? Here it goes. So I began to rebuke the devil. And I began to shout, and I told the devil to take his hands off my grandpa. I said in no uncertain terms, I bound him. I told him to leave my grandfather. And when I did, I said, amen. And then I smiled real big. I said, okay, Grandpa, you're going to get saved. And then I walked out of the room. Well, he called up one of his daughters and said, Tom's gone crazy. He thinks I have the devil. He's telling the devil to leave me. But something happened. We're sitting around the kitchen table, and we got to talking, and my grandpa said, you know, I've been thinking about God's existence. And it hit me. There's no way the universe can come about on its own. There would have to be someone bigger than the universe to make it. So I think you're right. God does exist. Now, but then he said, but now that doesn't mean I believe God has a son, that he sent his son, though. I said, that's okay, Grandpa. We got you closer to salvation. Because how can I get him saved if he doesn't believe in God, right? And he, little by little, later I end up getting married. I moved out of the house. And now my grandfather, who was very distant from all of his 8 daughters, he started calling them up and said, I want to spend time with you. Come pick me up. One of my aunts called me up and said, what have you done to Grandpa? I said, what do you mean? First of all, he's never, ever wanted to spend time with any of his children. Now he wants to spend all the time with us. And he never would talk to us. Even if we were together, he wouldn't talk. Now he talks all the time. But you know what he wants to talk about? God. He says, all he does is say, you know, Tom's been talking to me about God. And then my grandpa would break down and start to cry like a baby. And that's what my aunt said. All he does is he mentions God. And the moment he mentions God, he starts to cry. I said, God's working on him. And then on a Monday, Sonia and I prayed. We believed this was the day he was going to get saved. And I walked into his room. I said, "Grandpa, how you doing?" He said, "Well, not so good, Tommy. I can't walk that much anymore." I said, "I understand." I said, "Grandpa, God spoke to me and said, today you're ready to get saved." He said, "Yes, I want to get saved now. I'm ready. And when I get saved, I'm going to get to see Rosary, won't I?" That's his wife. I said, "Yes, Grandma got saved. And when you get saved, when you die, you'll get to see her." "Well, I'm ready." I said, "Let's pray." We closed, and you can imagine all my hard work and all my preaching. He just gave his life to Jesus, gave his heart to Christ. He even said, "Now, I want you to do my funeral and talk about Jesus." You know, he wanted all of this. "You do it." Well, when he died, in the end, my family wouldn't let me do the funeral because they're the daughters. And they know he said to all of them, "Tommy is to do my funeral." But they said, "I know he said that, but we can't let you do it. You're just our, you know." But anyway, it doesn't matter. He's in heaven. And then I don't have time to tell you, I got my dad saved too. All right. So, and I got to lead both of them to the Lord. My point is this: the devil, he's the one who causes people not to be saved. Now, somebody might ask me, "Are you saying that everyone, if the devil stopped blinding them, they would not get saved?" The Lord never told me everyone. He said your grandfather would be. See, we still have a free will. But let me say something about free will. Free will is not sovereign will. Only God has a sovereign will. And what does that mean? Anybody know the difference between God's sovereign will and human free will? Well, that's why you're here, right? You want to learn. God's sovereign will is a will that nothing influences. No one and no thing and no circumstance can ever influence his will. His will is steadfast and sovereign, and he wills because he purposes to will, and nothing changes him. Human will, think about it. You have a will, but it can be influenced by a lot of factors. Yeah, your family can influence you. Your parents can influence. The church, the sermon can influence you. You might have a will to speed down the road, but the moment you see a police, all of a sudden you have a will to slow down. What happened? See, we all are influenced by law. I had one guy got so angry at me, he says, "If I could, I would kill you, but I don't want to go to prison." So thank God for that. Anything to stop me from being murdered, I'm okay. So a lot of things influence our will, including Satan, who blinds our minds. So Satan's goal is, through the work of demons, to blind our minds. And are you ready for the final purpose? Purpose number 3 is to keep Christians from serving Christ. So once you get saved, his purpose now is to keep you from being fruitful and from living out your faith and serving the Lord and winning souls. And he wants to keep this from happening. Listen to what Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3. Watch this. "But I'm afraid that just as Eve was deceived by the serpent's cunning, your minds may somehow be led astray from your sincere and pure devotion to Christ." Notice, I'm afraid that the serpent, that's the devil, and that includes all those beings, fallen angels and demons that work under him as the prince of this kingdom, the kingdom of darkness. He says, "I'm afraid that somehow the devil will lead your mind away." The mind, the battlefield is in the mind, and he puts thoughts, including resentment, being offended. You get offended by your pastor. He says something, does something, maybe joke, and all of a sudden you just get all of a sudden, I don't think I want to go to that church. You see what he did? You see how he spoke to me? He didn't shake my hand. He didn't do this, whatever. And all of a sudden you're offended and you think, I'm going to go to another church, but it's not the same, because something, this offense has gotten you. It's eaten you up. That's one way he worked with that in Judas. Yes, Judas betrayed Christ because he wanted some money. But if you read the scriptures carefully, it's also because he was offended. It's interesting. Right when he offended, betrayed him, Jesus talked about beware of offenses. And then he's referring to Judas. So even Jesus is alluding to the fact that Judas betrayed Christ because he was offended. And I looked at the story, and I noticed when Judas did not like Mary pouring expensive perfume on Jesus, all right? And Judas objected and said, this perfume should have been sold and the money given to the poor. Well, he didn't care about the poor, right? And Jesus said to Judas, leave her alone. He rebuked him in front of people. These little rebukes he doesn't respect me. Why did he put me as a treasure if he's not going to respect my opinion? Does that sound, already sounds like church. People getting offended over certain remarks. The devil works. And that being offended is the number one trap of Satan for mature Christians. All right? Not for baby Christians. Baby Christians hardly ever get offended in the church. When they get saved, they're in a honeymoon. Everything is beautiful. I love the music. It makes me cry all the time. I love the sermon. I wish you'd preach longer. See, that's babes in Christ. But mature people, they have a clock. We got smash burgers afterwards. Come on, hurry up. The meat might go bad. We need to hurry up. See, but babes in Christ, they're just so happy. They're happy. They just think that Bishop Stephen never sins. But then when you're in the Lord for a long time, then you start to see that we're not perfect. And you should have known that, but the imperfection makes you offended. Because that pastor should not have done that. That minister should not have acted that way. That person in the church, they should have known better. All of a sudden, they get offended. My goodness, you got to stop that. Now, babes in Christ, they can still be led astray with other things. Jealousy, drugs, alcohol, sexual temptation. Many babes in Christ, they get saved. They came out of the drug culture, and the devil still tries to pull them back. My point is this. Demons know you, and they will work at your weakness to try to bring you into sin, to get you away from serving Christ. Because maybe they failed at keeping you from being saved, but the devil will definitely work at trying to keep you from acting saved. And the devil is subtle. And you have to be careful of this. And some of you are going through this right now. And God wants to set you free. He wants you to be delivered. So how does he do these purposes, these three purposes? Number one, demons will entice you. They'll tempt you. You might be walking down this. Well, let's put it this way. You might even be in church and the minister puts his wallet down. And crazy thought. The devil says, why don't you take that? Stupid thoughts. Why don't you do that? Why don't you see that person? Why don't you text that person? Why don't you, all of a sudden, you have these tempting thoughts. Where are these thoughts coming from? Satan, who's trying to entice you. I had a man in our church. The devil enticed him, and he started stealing from the church offerings. We try to have him secure, but he found a way with the a key that he used. He took it from one of our persons, and they wondered, where does the key go? I lost the key, and all of a sudden, the key was returned back in the keychain. Well, I guess it was here all the time, but he had taken it, made copies, and now he knew how to get to where was the money was at to steal from the church. But we all we knew is the offerings were down. What's going on? Couldn't figure it out. We're saying we're having good attendance, but how's the money down? So we struggled with it. And then one Tuesday Bible study, I'm sitting down. We have a guest speaker, and I hear the Lord say, Louis is stealing the church offering right now. I just heard the Lord say that. That was right after I got ordained as a bishop. All right? I just got ordained that about 3-4 weeks ago under, you know, the route to the Apostle Peter. And you remember he had that gift where he knew Ananias and Sapphira was stealing. That anointing came on me, and the Lord told me exactly who's stealing and that he's doing it now. And I turned to Sonia. I said, give me the key right now. Give me the key. And I told her where to give me the key. What? She goes, is everything all right? Just give me the key quickly. She gave me the key. I ran out of the church. I opened the door, and there was Louis caught with the offering. How could somebody like this do this? The devil entices. He will entice you to do evil. Then there's demonic harassment. Look, this is an interesting one. Paul talks about it, a thorn in the flesh that was harassing him. Now, the thorn in the flesh wasn't going to kill him. You know, the devil will do things that's not going to kill you, but just bother you. And what was the devil doing to Paul? Everywhere he would go, people would stir up the law against him, and then he'd find himself in jail again. And Paul is so sick of it. And he pleads with the Lord, Lord, stop this from happening. I'm tired of the devil doing this. And the Lord said, my grace is sufficient. Listen to me. Sometimes what you have to recognize, you can't do everything to stop the devil, but you can stop the reaction you're having. So Paul says, now I'm going to rejoice when those things happen. For I know it's all going to work out for the good. And thank God he went to jail many times, because that's where we got our Bible. He had nothing else to do but write letters. Thank God. God knew what he's doing, right? So sometimes things like that happen, but don't get discouraged. Then demons torment. I told you that already. They just torment. And they'll torment you to such a degree that you don't want to go to church. You don't want to read the Bible. You're just so tormented. You don't even want to live. And I'm going to tell you, if you have suicidal thoughts, I can assure you that's the devil working on you. Because it's not normal for any human being to want to die. It's only normal for us all to want to live. So to want to die and to die by your own hand, that has to be the work of demons. And demons cause addictions. When people are bound with habits, sexual habits, drugs, alcohol, and ready for this, gluttony. Yeah. How many of y'all don't mind a little joke in the middle of this? There was a lady who had gluttony, and she just could not stop eating and eating and eating. And the minister said, I tell you to come out of her now in Jesus' name. And the demon spoke through this very heavy set woman and said, okay, I'll come out for a donut. And see, that's the devil. He tries to trick people and bring addictions in our life. And then finally, demons, in order to accomplish these three purposes, demons will attack your physical body. And sometimes you can be a godly person, a Christian who loves the Lord, and you get attacked. Think of the woman in the synagogue who was bent over for 18 years. And Jesus called her a daughter of Abraham. And the Bible says that a spirit of infirmity bound her. That's the Bible. It was a spirit that bound her. And Jesus even said, after healing her, that should not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, be set free from what Satan had bound her? Jesus said it was the devil that did it. And the Bible says it was a spirit of an infirmity. Many times people have diseases and it's not old age. Obviously, when we get older, we're going to get a little slower and things like that. I'm talking about where something is unusual and you're attacked because the devil wants you out. He wants to stop you from witnessing and preaching. And some of you are watching right now online and you won't come to church because you feel so sick. That's the enemy. So the devil works overtime to try to stop these three purposes from coming in your life. And at this moment, I want to make sure that everyone who needs prayer gets prayer right now. If you're here tonight and you would say, Bishop, I feel like I'm under spiritual attack. Maybe it's the thorn in the flesh. You've just been harassed, but we still need prayer for grace. Others, you're being attacked in your body and God wants to free you and heal you, set you free, but it's the devil that's bound you. Some of you have thoughts that are just not normal and they're bombarding you and you need to be set free from it. You're being enticed. You're being pulled. There's others that have addictions. You know where you're at in life. God wants to set you free. He wants you to be a fruitful Christian for the glory of God. If you're here tonight and you say, I need prayer, I would like you to pray for me tonight. I'll be happy. Don't listen. There's no judgment. Just because you're asking for prayer doesn't mean somehow you're a wicked person or anything. In fact, you're saying, I want to be holy. I want to serve the Lord. And that's why I need prayer. To me, that's a sign of somebody who's seeking God, not the other way around. So if you're wanting prayer right now, lift up your hand so I can pray. God, oh, lots of you. Stand up for those who want prayer. And come forward in the name of Jesus. Come on, come forward and let's set one line right up here. Hallelujah. Praise God forevermore. Are we ready? Come on forward. Let's get one straight line right here. And then just look at me as you get as close as possible. Maybe about right. Yeah, give me a little room so I can walk in front of you. And that's all I need, just a little room. All right? God bless you. Just get one line. Hallelujah. Praise God. Now you're ready. I see everybody. If you need to curve around, I see it. God bless you. That's fine. Hallelujah. Now you're ready for this prayer. If you can't get in line, just stay right behind. I promise I will pray for everyone. Lift up your hands toward your Heavenly Father who loves and cares for you. For he is the ultimate deliverer. He's the one that will have mercy upon you, show grace to you. Say this out loud. Say, Father God, I've come in the name of Jesus. And I feel like the devil's been attacking me. You know what I've been going through. And I need your help right now. I need your grace. And you said in your word that believers will be given the gift to cast out demons. And I believe you have given that gift to the whole body of Christ, but in particular to Bishop Brown. And I humble myself to receive his prayer. And I'm expecting, Lord, to truly be delivered. I want to be set free. I'm tired of this bondage. I'm tired of my mind being led astray. I'm tired of these attacks against my body, against my mind, against my marriage, against my family, against my church. I'm tired of these attacks. I want freedom. So, Father God, free me tonight in Jesus' name. Now keep your hand lifted up, and now it's going to be my turn to pray for you. Are you ready? And now I come in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, the one who died on the cross for our sins. I come in the name of Jesus, the one who was born of the Virgin Mary, who lived without sin, who taught the truth, who was crucified, dead and buried, but 3 days later, he rose from the dead and was seen by hundreds of people. Jesus, I come in the one after being on the earth for 40 days after his resurrection, who on that Thursday ascended to the right hand of God the Father. I come in his holy name, the one name that Satan trembles after, the one name Satan cannot stop from having to be gone when that name is spoken. So now, Father, as your son and as your servant and as your minister, I pray for your people tonight that this would be the moment for their deliverance. And I know Satan, he's here, at least through his demons. But I also know that God is here and that the holy angels of God outnumber all Satan's fallen angels and demons. We have more on our side than Satan has on his side. So the greater one dwells within us also, and the Holy Spirit lives within us. And so in the name of Jesus of Nazareth, the Son of God, I command Satan and every demon of infirmity, every unclean spirit, every impure spirit, every wicked spirit, every spirit that has tormented God's people, I order you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to come out of these people at once. I order you, be gone in Jesus' name. You will not stay in them anymore. Yes, you are released. You can get out and leave these premises at once. In Jesus' name. Oh, Raka, thank you, Father, that the devil has to listen. And he's listening now. And demons are listening now, even as I have spoken in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. And if you're here right now, I want you to think about it. Do you feel like there's a battle going on? Something's taking place, maybe even in your body. You're feeling something going on inside of you. You feel a battle. Some of you feel a fear. Some of you, you even have this strange fear of me. But it's not your personality. It's the personality of the devil. See, that's what you're feeling right now. You're feeling some battle. You're feeling some struggle. But right now, you believe you're going to be free. You believe that the devil's losing the battle right now. Now, those who are feeling something unusual, then do me a favor. Lift up your hand. If you're feeling something unusual, get my attention, all right? Want your right hand up, okay? Now, if you're not feeling it, everyone put their hands down except the people who are feeling something unusual. Lift up your hand. Now, if you're not feeling anything unusual, that's okay. Somebody asked me the other day, did the demon not leave? I said, it's quite possible you don't have anything. That's why you didn't feel anything. But God is still showing his grace toward you. But others, they clearly feel something going on in the name of Jesus. Yes. Do we have any ushers? Do we have any ushers to stand behind these people? Hallelujah. I'll do my best because I don't push. I actually bring people. You'll notice when I pray for you, I usually bring you closer to me, not further, because I'm not interested. But right now, the power of God is flowing through you right now. In the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, I command you, yes, you will get out of him now. You have no authority and power to stay in him. I order you to come out and leave him at once. And now, if you have a claim why you should be able to stay in him, then speak that claim now.